Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 30th, 2014. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just do not realize it, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out and send the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And I do give you my cell phone number so that if you can't reach me, to call me on that or leave a message on that also. And that cell phone number is 316-619-4886. If you need me, I'm here to talk to you. Anyway, let's move right along. Anyway, you can find updates for the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. Now, prophecyhour.com is like a hub for all of our ministries. You can go over there and go to find WichitaHomeless.com, which talks about the Wichita Mission Church, or you can go over there and find the Mission Watch radio programs or the archives for this program, which, by the way, the archives at branch.podomatic.com, they're all very, very smartphone friendly, and just as prophecyhour.com is. So I ask you to share this with a couple other people, because I know that by getting out there and reaching people, we can get the world warned and maybe pray it in. Anyway, now, for a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, Tuesday, you know, folks, I was really having just a great day in Yeshua, you know. I had some great time with my father before I started the day. In fact, at the Mission Church, it was pointed out to me, well, that I'd just well been happy and smiling all day. I received many signs of his presence with me in the form of things going right and confirmations over things I've been praying for months about. These I will go into on a later date. In the end of the evening, I went to the health club to work out, as I try to do every Tuesday. You know, I'm 59 years old, and I try to keep in shape so I can stay around a while. And one of the guys that I visit with all the time came up behind me and said, hey, have you met this guy? And I said, no. And he said, well, I'm real surprised because he's a pastor, too. So he introduced me to Pastor Dan. That's right. Pastor Dan got introduced to Pastor Dan. That is Cowboy Pastor Dan, Dan Boyd. The Holy Spirit was all over him as we visited, and we even prayed on a guy, on the fellow that introduced us, because he came up and asked for a prayer later. She said, remember me in your prayers later. So we laid hands on him and prayed right then. He is, according to him, the last circuit riding preacher. I bet a lot of you people out there don't even know what a circuit riding preacher is. He has many stories, such as churches boarded up in Maine. And he told me, and I did, before I even volunteered, that I did an end time radio program. He said that we are in the end times. So I pray he's on here with us. Let's welcome him now, Pastor Dan Boyd. Are you here there with me?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, I'm really glad to hear your voice. First off, brother, I want you to tell them about yourself, but what's a circuit riding preacher for the people that have no idea what that is?
Well, circuit riding preachers came about in the 1800s. The Methodist Church didn't have enough pastors, so the pastor would ride from town to town on horseback and share the love of Jesus with everyone they met.
Well, amen. And sometimes, somebody, as I was explaining this to my wife, folks, sometimes people back in those days would have to wait weeks or even months for a preacher to come by and do to either give them a sermon or maybe baptize them or do the things that a preacher does. So you say you're the last one.
Well, I say I'm the last circuit riding preacher. There are other circuit riding preachers, but they're... We met a few of them back east, but they ride in a small area on horseback. I'm riding through all the lower 48 states, and we have not found any record of anybody that's rode a horse through all the lower 48 states. And the reason I say the last is because back east in the New England states, we were run off the road. They told us it wasn't safe. So in the future, it's going to be impossible to ride the roads back east and go through the states.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, how did you get into it? I'm sure you haven't been a cowboy preacher all your life. Brother, tell us your story. How did you get into this?
Well, I back up in 1970, I lost my first wife and oldest son in a car accident, and a lady at the funeral home told me, she said, this was God's will, and then she said, God won't give me more than he could bear. Well, you're in the funeral home, and your wife and son are in a casket, and my other son that survived was up in intensive care, and that just shook me. I didn't want anything to do with a God that would take a five-year-old boy. You know, that it was his fault. So for 12 years, I was angry and rebellious, bitter. And a preacher took the time to be friends with me, and he asked me to come to church. And I said, I'll come to church the day you wear bib overalls. Well, he wore a bib overall, so I had to go to church. Well, I was so defiant. I didn't want to do it. I said I would. All my family went to that church up in Salina, Kansas. And I showed up, and I just got my PI license, so I'm carrying my firearm underneath my coat and smoking my pipe right up to the door and being defiant. And I stuck the pipe in my pocket before I went in the door, and smoke was coming out of my pocket, and it was burning me, but I was defiant. And I changed. I finally come to the realization that God had nothing to do with that accident. God gives everybody free will. And the guy that was drinking and driving, it really wasn't his fault, because our car, my wife's car, pulled out in front of him. And subsequently, he didn't change lanes, and there was an accident. So I was angry at him, too, and it took me a long time to realize that it wasn't his fault. I mean, and I forgave him a long time ago.
Right,
but
right.
I came to the Lord in 1982, and I moved to Wichita because I told the Lord I'd go wherever he wanted, and he sent me to Wichita. And, of course, I argued with him for about 25 years after that. What do you think of sending me to Wichita? I'm a cowboy. I belong in the country. But he had a reason, because I started the first cowboy church in Kansas. And then I started another one that's still going over east of Augusta, Kansas. And then he put it on my heart. I've always dreamed of riding across America, but I hadn't dreamed of riding through every state. And he put it on my heart to share this with everybody. So part of our ministry is we're sharing the love of Jesus with everyone we meet. Anyone who will hold still, and if they won't hold still, I'll run them down. I want to share Jesus with them. You know, and well, we started riding, and we preached at cowboy churches, Methodist churches, Baptist churches, Nazarene churches, Pentecostal churches, in the park, alongside of the road, in Walmart parking lot. You know, I've had people, I sit on the back of the truck while my wife goes into Walmart to shop, and people come by and they want to talk to me, and I'll pray with them right there in the middle of the parking lot, you know, and it's like I told you this week. When somebody says they ask us for prayers, don't tell them you'll pray for them. Do it right then, right there. That's when they need it. They're hurting. They need help.
Yeah, amen. Let me interrupt for a moment here. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel and what I do, you know, with our ministry is when somebody asks for a prayer, for why, you know, is to pray instantly. Amen. You know, because it says we should be instant in prayer. But I think the fellow that introduced us to that you, when you did that, when you said that to him, you know, he looked shocked, but we both prayed on him and I looked for a good outcome, but he was shocked, as is most of the world, aren't they, for that?
Yeah, they really don't expect it. And, you know, we were in Trails End, up in, Riverton, Wyoming. And, I was talking to a lady from a cowboy church up there, and she was hurting, and we were talking to her, and some people were sitting behind us, and, when we got ready to leave, I said, let's pray. And we all stood up right there in the middle of the restaurant, and we prayed right then, right there. And that's what we have to do. It's time for Christians to take a stand. You know, I told you, I don't know a single cowboy who can straddle a barbed wire fence very long. You got to pick a side.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the problem that we're seeing. Why do you think that that boldness used to be, when I was a kid growing up, that boldness used to be in ministers and in the general public. But now, you know, you see people proclaim themselves to be Christians, and I'm not saying that they're not. But you don't see many of them out in the public talking about it. What do you think took that boldness away from them?
Well, I think people are afraid. I don't know what they're afraid of criticism. The world has gotten to the point where everybody does their own thing. And the sins of this world are becoming acceptable. And it's like I tell people, you know what you tolerate today, you accept tomorrow. But we as Christians have to stop tolerating things. We have to take a stand and say, right's right, wrong's wrong, and I'm willing to stand on the blood of Jesus and stand up and be counted. Because I was reading someplace, a man said, a great minister, and I can't remember his name, said that if you're not sharing Jesus with other people, you're not saved. And I think about that, and we have to take a stand. If we truly love Jesus, we can't keep our mouth shut. I put the thing on the top of, we change our cover on our Facebook periodically, mm-hmm. and I have it on there where there is no such thing as a silent Christian. If you're silent, you're denying Christ. If you love Jesus, you can't keep your mouth shut. You got to share his love with somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. He should be in your normal speech of the day. You know, I know he is in mine. You know, I talk about, you know, the Father and the Son. You know, it comes up in speech all day long. You know, I everything I do, I pray for. You know, what was funny is after I came home that night, the next day, after you told me, you used this same statement. You just told me about this, about, you know, standing up for Christ. And then somebody sent me an article. And sure enough, here's somebody saying the same thing, and it really truly amazed me, which was a confirmation about you saying that there are two kinds of Christians, one that's a fake Christian and one that's a real Christian. A real Christian stands up and does what you said. And a fake Christian is just somebody that proclaims, but, you know, is like what you said there about Revelation. Tell them what you said about the two scriptures.
Well, everybody knows John 3:16. God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. Everybody knows that. But not many people know Revelation 3:15-16, where Jesus says, I wish you were hot or cold. but you're lukewarm, and if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. You know, and bottom line is, if we are not taking a stand for Christ, we are denying him. And he said, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before the Father. We've got to stand up, be bold enough, be brave enough to invoke his name and tell people, pray with people, tell them about Jesus. I told you about a challenge that I started, and it started down in Texas. This lady, Sandy, she works with a retired Marine, and she told me that he is so foul-mouthed and mean and hateful. She said she just can't hardly be around him. So at church on Sunday, I issued the challenge to everybody, and I always, now I bring in the smallest guy from the church and have him come forward, and then I'll bring up the biggest guy in the church, and I say, this is the challenge I want you guys to take from here today. I want you to go out tomorrow and every day, and I'll have the little guy get toe-to-toe with him, and he'll stand there. I said, nope, get toe-to-toe with that fella. And they'll get toe-to-toe, and I'll tell the little guy, now look up at him, smile big, and say, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Will you go to church with me this Sunday? Well, Sandy took that challenge, and she couldn't wait to tell me, because she said that guy has not been the same since then. He was kind of left speechless. And, you know, he's not been foul-mouthed around her. He hasn't gone to church with her, but don't know if he hasn't gone someplace else. But she planted a seed, and that's what we've got to do, is plant a seed every day. We've got to invite people to church. There's people sitting at home, and all they need is an invite.
Yeah, absolutely. Show them some of that, what used to be just common old American hospitality or Christian mentality. You know what I'm saying? You know, we just don't.
Yeah.
People are too busy. You know, you see them walking in. Here's something I'll tell you. You know, you can go at around after Thanksgiving, you know, when the stores all pick up because everybody's doing their Christmas rush shopping. A fellow told me, he said, Pastor Danny said, you need to try this. And he said, when you walk into the store, he said, be prepared, but walk into Walmart. And then after you get about 10 foot in the store, just stop and turn around and look back towards the door. He said, I guarantee you'll get bumped into and run over almost. And so I thought, oh, no, not really. I don't believe that. And so I went into the store. And, you know, it was a few days after Thanksgiving, and I went to the store, and I walked in a little ways, and I just stopped dead, and I turned around, and I had about four or five people bump into me and everything. Why? Because they all had their head in a cell phone. They weren't paying attention to each other. I mean, brother, how do they call that social media? It seems like it's unsocial media.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing evil about computers or cell phones or television, or any of the electronics. But that's another area that I encourage people. You know, I tell people, you are what you put in, okay? You put in doctor stuff, you get a doctor. You put in teacher stuff, you get a teacher. You put in science stuff, you get a scientist. You put in nothing, you get a politician or a lawyer.
I love you, brother. That absolutely. You get a politician or a lawyer. Okay,
but you see,
that's just great. Go ahead.
There are two types of food that we have to look at, brain food. You know, there's angel's food and devil's food. And you are what you put in, and it's time that people start spending time with the family. I challenge families to at least one day a week, turn the TV off, the cell phones off, the computer off, and spend it together as a family. Eat at the table together. Read the Bible together. Pray together. Play board games. Go for a walk together. And if families will start doing that at least once a week, they'll see changes in their marriages and changes in the relationship with their children. It doesn't take much. Just a little time with the family. And I guarantee you, they'll take that challenge. Just once a week, they'll see changes in their lives.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, you see people, I see people nowadays, you know, that are sitting just across the room from each other, and instead of talking, you know, they're texting back and forth, you know. Like you say, you know, those things in and of themselves aren't bad, but they're bad. Well, you know, the Bible, it's just like gluttony. You know, too much of anything can be bad for you. And especially when it cuts off communication with your family. You know, myself, brother, every night, my family, we sit down to dinner together, you know, except for when we're in Wichita, you know, at the mission church. But we sit down together and eat as a family. We pray and we eat together. And that's the time of day that, you know, we can look around. And if we got something going on with us, you know, we can tell us what's going on, or just share a good joke, or share something the Lord did for us.
Yeah, it's time. It's time that families get back together. And I realize that we have all kind of obstacles or interruptions, but we have a choice. And, you know, it's time for families to take a stand, because you can't keep going the way you are today with all these interruptions. We're denying Christ. We have to take a stand. We've got to be bold and brave and be willing to be. One girl told me that, she said, I took your challenge and the guy laughed at me. I said, so what? You planted a seed. He'll remember that. He'll remember that for a long time. Don't quit. And, you know, in North Carolina, we did that same challenge, and then we went to the rodeo and all the kids went through the stand. And they were saying that Jesus loves you and so do I. Will you come to church with me? That was Saturday night. Sunday, there was 100 people in that church. Praise God.
Well, amen. Well, you know, the other side, the ungodly have us believing that is politically incorrect and incorrect. That's killing us. But, you know, that it's wrong to do it. So I believe people are afraid of how other people look at them. I don't know exactly how we got to this point. We can talk it over here a little bit. We're getting ready to go to a break here, brother, in about another 50 seconds. I'm going to try and give your website out. Folks, there will be a link to his website on our page. In fact, I just sent it over there to prophecyhour.com. If you go to prophecyhour.com, right now there will be a link. At the first news article, there will be a link to his website where you can find Facebook. Or you can Google Pastor Cowboy Dan, and you'll find that. It'll come up. Cowboy Pastor Dan, go over there and have a look. He's got some pictures over there and tell some of his story and everything. But it's also got a page there. When we come back, we're going to tell you about where he's going and what he's doing. But there's also a thing over there. He doesn't ask for donation where he goes. But I'm saying you ought to pray about supporting this guy. And there's a place over there where it says donations welcome. So he won't ask you for any money, but I'll ask for him. I would like to see you guys bless this fellow. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more of Pastor Dan Boyd.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. Treat it as family is second, and beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. If we have the way to fill it, we give it to them. If not, we pray it in. This is why the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care for one another as we are our brother's keepers. No donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And now, tonight, we're still talking with the last circuit riding preacher, Cowboy Pastor Dan Boyd. Are you still there with me, Dan?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, well, you know, you said something. Well, I want you to tell us more about where you're going next or what you're up to. You said something that really hit me pretty hard. You told me two things, really, and they were real close together. One, you said that you believe, and that was before I don't even think I mentioned to you that our program was an end-time radio program. If I did, it was after this comment you made. You said you believed that we're in the end times, and then you also made a church comment about churches being boarded up in Maine. Now, I don't know if you connect those two together, but why do you believe that we're in the end times?
Well, I'll tell you, the family values have deteriorated in this country, and you talked about political correctness, and you know, one of the things I say is that tolerance, diversity, political correctness, those have replaced morals, ethics, and God's laws. And people have got to stop trying to appease the public or trying to be politically correct. That's wrong. We've got to try to please God, and you're not going to do it with the political correctness and tolerance and diversity. And, you know, and that's changed the way people look at religion. And when I was on Popham Beach in Maine, now you saw, I don't know, the way I dress is I've got cowboy boots and spurs and jeans and cowboy hat and neckerchief, and that's what I wear all the time because I'm on horseback almost every day. But, you know, we were down there, and these young college kids parked next to our truck, and I'm down on the beach walking in the sand, and this young girl came up to me and asked to take my picture for a photography class. And I gave her a business card, and I said, you tell your professor the whole story. And then she said, you know, you really don't belong in this state. And I thought, why? And she said, this is a godless state. And, you know, of course, instantly I thought, where should I be? You know, if not in a godless state. But we started noticing how many churches were boarded up. And we went to a church north of Augusta, Maine. And it was a Baptist church, and most everybody there were older, and there weren't that many people there. And when we were in New Hampshire, there's one church over there, they're only open in the summertime. And, you know, we really have to share our beliefs. We cannot sit by idly and say nothing.
Well, you know, that's something I was trying to relate to somebody earlier today was that, you know, these things, these godless things seem to be coming from the both coasts. On the East Coast are the power of the United States. That's where Washington's at. And so folks like, you know, where we live at, we live in, right, you know, we're broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and you're in Kansas. We're lucky to be in this more center of the United States, but I don't think a lot of Americans that live not on the coast, we're between the mountains, understand really what's going on the coast. What do you think?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, we met a lot of wonderful people back east, and don't get me wrong, there's some good, solid Christians back there. But I found a whole lot more of them here in the Midwest. You know, when we're riding through Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, Wyoming, Montana, and Nebraska, we met a whole lot more Christians that were willing to take a stand and had no problem sharing Jesus. And people wanted to help us. And see, that's part of our mission, too, is it's not just sharing the love of Jesus. We stop and help people along the way, and that's the only reason we ask for stories to be written in the newspaper so people know how to contact us, because we met a lady in Gun Barrel City, Texas, didn't have a bathroom door, a widow lady, so we went and put a door on for her. In Arizona, a cowboy living in an adobe house, an old cowboy, his roof was leaking, so we went up there and fixed the roof, and that's what we do. We help people in need, and I say, Jesus and I are going to help those that cannot help themselves. And that's what it's about. There's all kinds of programs for people in the city, and praise God for what you're doing. You're helping the people that are lost in the city, not only with food, but you're helping them with their soul. And this is an opportunity for us to help those in the country. They wouldn't know how to find help. So we try to find them, and it, you know, if it's mending fences or fixing their porch or an old cowboy in the Flint Hills got cancer and lost his leg, he couldn't ride his horses anymore, we went over there and we did some chores for him, you know, and that's what it's about. We have to do a simple act of kindness and find somebody to have a kind word for, to share the love of Jesus, invite him to church, open the door for somebody, put the groceries in some elderly lady's car for, you know, just share. People need to see that kind of love in us, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a lot of the homeless and poor, we get both, you know, you know, of course the poor or the homeless are poor, but we also get poor people because we don't have a sign up sheet or anything. It's a church. They just walk in and they, you know, they come for different things. They come for Bibles. They come for prayers. They come for clothing for their children. They come in and ask, but you know, a lot of them have said to me, they say, Pastor Dan, I don't get it. Well, these other Christians, when they pull out of church, how come they're just like everybody else after they pull out of the church parking lot? You know, I don't have to press and push the Lord, Yeshua or Jesus, on anybody because our actions of showing kindness and love, they want to know about who our God is, you know. They want to know what's fueling us. They want to see our act of kindness. And so that shows them that when you present yourself to somebody, you're presenting them your God. And your God better be the one that has a son by the name of Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach. Back to you, Dan.
Well, they need to see the love of Jesus in us, and the only way that we may be the only Bible some people ever see. And we've got to stand up and be a beacon, to be a light, and reach out and help someone. You know, I pray every day for God to put someone in our path, you know, that needs help. Someone that, and it may be help with chores, it may be whatever it may be, we've got to be there to be willing to do it and to be able to talk to them. There was a widow lady in Riverton, Wyoming. She lived on the reservation. She had just lost her husband 2 months before she met us. And we were in the Walmart parking lot. And my wife was putting groceries in, and she jumped out of her car and come over and says, I need to talk to you. She asked us to follow us out to her house on the reservation, and we spent a couple hours or more with her. And she was really hurting. It's only been 2 months since her husband died, and she was just devastated. And we sat there and visited with her, and we prayed with her, and she needed that. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to be willing to reach out. You know, I can't emphasize enough that Christians have an opportunity every day. And I think I told you about the preacher that somebody was saying, asking people as they passed by on the street a simple question, if you die today, are you going to heaven or hell? And that preacher kept hearing the same story from people that came to know the Lord, and he asked them what turned their life around. And that simple phrase, and he had to look up that guy. He found him. And the guy that was saying that for years never saw anybody get saved. But he didn't know how many he had affected with that simple phrase. If you die today, are you going to heaven or hell? And, you know, I may have told you about the old cowboy up in Vermont. They asked me to speak to him because he was lost. I mean, he was into drugs and alcohol and had real bad health problems. And I agreed to meet with him, and we met on a logging road up in the mountains, and I stood there with him in the middle of that road for an hour and a half. And he said he didn't believe in heaven or hell. And I said, you can't see the wind, can you? You can't see the heat or cold, but you feel them. You know they're there. They're real. Just because you don't believe in heaven or hell doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I said, one of these days, you're riding your horse down the road, and the horse comes up lame. Or you're driving your truck down the road, and the engine conks out. You don't stop existing. You just change realities. You're no longer riding. You're walking. And I said to him, one of these days, your engine's going to conk out, and you're not going to stop existing. You're just going to change reality. And the question is, whose neighborhood are you going to be hanging out in, Old Ugly or the High Country? And, you know, he said he believed. He says, I'm not ready to start going to church. I said, you may not have time later. You need to take a stand now. Again, you can't straddle that barbed wire very long. You got to pick a side.
Yeah, amen. I wholeheartedly agree. And there's too many people that are trying to keep You know, it says if the world loves you, the world's supposed to hate you for the love of Christ. You know, you're not supposed to love the world and the things in it. You know, you're supposed to deny those things. But, you know, you got to take a stand, folks. You know, that's what this program's about, warning you at the time of the end, you know. And here's a man that's riding around on a horse. Where are you going next? What's your plans? You got any plans on where you're going next, or is the Father sending you any place? What are you up to?
Well, we're planning to start riding probably Monday morning. We're going to start riding south towards Oklahoma, then down into Texas, and we'll ride across the southern states during the winter month, and then we've got 22 more states to go in, and we're going to start heading north when it starts warming up and go up through Georgia and Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio. And there's a preacher in upstate Michigan that asked me to help him start a cowboy church. So when we get up there, if we're going to stay there long enough to help him start a cowboy church. And, you know, cowboy churches are one of the fastest-growing churches in this country. When
really?
I started the first cowboy church, yeah, when I started the first cowboy church in Kansas, I thought I was starting something new and different, and I was getting a big head, you know, this is new. Nobody's ever done this. And the Wichita reporter that talked to me showed me an article. There's over 200 cowboy churches. So the Lord had a way of humbling me real quick. And now there's over 5,000 cowboy churches, and they're just popping up all over the place. And in Texas, you can't go 30 miles without being a cowboy church. And it's a simple thing. It's come as you are without judgment, you know. It's no judgment. And you come from doing chores, fine, you know. It's real simple. And everybody at these cowboy churches make you feel like you're welcome, like you're at home. And it's just real loving people. And there are other churches like that. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that the cowboy church movement is just expanding like crazy. But people have said to me, well, to come to the cowboy church, do I got to quit smoking? I say, no. Do I got to quit drinking? I say, no. Well, do I got to quit cussing? I say, no. And they go through the litany, and I say, let me ask you a question. Do you got to get cleaned up to take a shower? And they say, no. I said, God didn't call me to tell you to change your shirt. God called me to feed his children, you know. That's what it's about. When Jesus tells you to give up something, you better pay attention, you know. That's not my job. My job's to feed them. And, you know, they'll go through the litany of questions. Well, if a sister's saved, how much makeup should she wear? I said, how much does her face need? You know, God's bigger than a tube of lipstick. He don't care.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, that's right. The shower is a very good example. You don't get clean before you get in the shower. You get in the shower and then you get clean. You don't get clean before, and that's the point, you know. I know a couple of, specifically one church in Wichita where people got to be saved already before they can come to their church, you know, and come, you know, be in their congregation or attend any of their things. And I just find that utterly ridiculous. How are they supposed to hear the word, you know, because it says, you know, you hear it by a preacher preaching it to you, you know. Well, how are you going to hear the preacher, you know, unless you go to the church? But amen. Yeah, we should all be out on the street inviting people to those houses. But, you know, there's so many that are shutting them out because they're not already clean. And that's a sad state.
You know, somebody, I was talking to another preacher a few years ago, and I told him, I said, you know, I got the best record of any preacher in the whole United States. He said, what are you talking about, Dan? I said, every single person that I led to the Lord made it to heaven. He said, Dan, that's not possible. I said, sure it is. He says, okay, what's the deal? He says, is this a Baptist, once saved, always saved? I said, no. I says, when I get them saved, I take them out back and shoot them. That way they can't backslide.
Oh, that's just not right. That's funny.
He said, that's cheating. I said, yeah, I know. We got a big cemetery and a small congregation, but everybody got saved. No, the truth is we share the love of Jesus with everyone. But, you know, a lot of people think, you know, getting saved, means a boring life. I'm not going to have any fun if I accept Christ. You know, I have a whole lot more fun now than I ever had when I was running wild and working in the bar.
Yeah, I agree wholly. Are you still there? I think we just dropped him. I think his cell phone must have dropped.
I'm here.
Oh, you're still here. Okay, well, you got quiet. But, yeah, I agree with you about the bars and all that. You know, I have a lot of fun, you know, the way that I am with the family that the Father gave me and everything after I came out of the world. And you know what? I go to bed at night. I don't go to bed with any guilt, you know, and I don't wake up with guilt because, you know, it's totally different. And it's no fear there either. And so you get rid of guilt, you get rid of fear, and you get love and kindness, and it's just, I can't explain it to you unless you get saved, you know. Folks, if you're not feeling those things, if you're still feeling guilty, and you claim that you're saved, you need to do some praying, and you need to talk to a minister. And if your minister isn't, would you describe a church? What would you describe a church that you expect to see when you go into it, Dan?
Well, they need to make you feel like you're at home, you know, and you need to feel comfortable and feel like you're part of something and that you're getting fed. And, you know, you talked about the end times, and, you know, you can read Revelations and cross-reference it with the daily newspaper, and you have to know, if you're reading the Bible, you're seeing prophecies being fulfilled all the time. And the more that people try to disprove the Bible, the more they wind up proving it to be true. And, you know, it's real simple. Real simple. If you love Jesus, you can't keep your mouth shut. You've got to share him with somebody.
Yeah, amen. I think that's the biggest message that I get from you. You know, folks, if you met Dan in person, I'll tell you what. I met him in the locker room, and you know what? You talk to me, Dan, and I tell you, you know, just from listening to you talk, you were bringing tears to my eyes, you know, and I could feel the joy of the Lord all over you, you know, and it was just bringing tears to my eyes. And so I know you share that same experience with others wherever you go, and so it's a real blessing, brother. So let's talk about your website for a minute. When people go over there, what can they expect? Do you do updates about what you're doing, or what do you do on your website?
Well, my wife, God bless her, the Lord put her in my path, and she's a computer, in my opinion, she's a computer genius. She can, she handles the Facebook and the web page, and she's going to update. I'm going to have some of my poems on there pretty soon, and some of the stories that I've been given, and I rewrote them and made them cowboy. But you'll be touched when you read these stories. And there's one, A Cowboy's Gift, and I know we probably don't have time for me to tell that story, but at the end of it, I wrote it, and every time I recite it, I wind up in tears and all choked up. And it's, you'll see some poems, you'll see some stories. We're going to start writing some of the stories down of like the cowboy in Louisiana that wound up in prison. And he came to know the Lord while he was in prison. And when he met us, we shared and we talked. And now he's got his life straight, and he's got a wife and a family. And it's all because of Jesus. He turned his life over to Jesus. And while he was in prison, out of trash bags, plastic trash bags, he made this little cross. I'm sitting in my truck right now, and this little plastic cross is so neat. He made it out of twisted plastic. And he says, I want to give this to you. And these little mementos that people have shared with us and their stories, you know, we're collecting stories of faith and values, of perseverance and hardship from Christians. And we're going to put them in the book when we're through. But we've got at least two more years on the road. And if God gives me enough time after we finish this journey, we're going to start a place called Jesus Christ Junction, and it's going to be kind of Western, and there's just so much of it, and we're going to have a bunkhouse for old cowboys to retire. There is no place for old cowboys to retire, but we're going to have a place for them if God gives us enough time.
Amen. Well, my prayers are with you, brother, and I'm going to listen to everybody else. I'm going to make sure that I put, of course, there's a link already, but wherever they listen to this, we get a lot of folks, brother, that will come and listen to the radio archives. We have a lot of live listeners, but there's thousands of people that will pick this up and listen to it over the next couple of weeks. And then even now, after that, it'll be in the archives after, but the strongest number will come within the next week to 2 weeks. But there'll be a link to your website. But also, folks, it's real simple. If you go Pastor Cowboy Dan, and you Google it, you'll find this website. He's the last, or if you go to Facebook, if you type in where it's Facebook search thing, like I did to find it, I found it before I found a website. I typed in the last circuit riding preacher, and before I could get circuit finished, the whole thing popped up. And so, brother, you're really pretty easy to find. Maybe not so if you're out there on the road, but I hope you keep us updated on Facebook. I'm going to keep your number, and I'm going to give you a call in a while and see if what you're doing out there on the road and get you back on and tell us what you're up to.
Well, we'd love to share with folks the new stories and people who changed their lives, like the lady that had been holding something back for years, and I asked those to come forward that had been holding something back. And she came forward, and we were kneeling right in front of the speaker. And I didn't hear a word what she was saying, but I laid hands on her, and I prayed with her. It didn't matter what she was holding back. That's irrelevant to me. She turned it over to Jesus. And I say we're in the end times, brother, because all you have to do is look around. Everybody puts everything else in front of Jesus. And it's time to change that.
Amen. Well, brother, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm really completely running out of time. Folks, I want you to, before I say my final goodbye to him, I want to tell you, folks, pray about it. Go over to his website and look around and see if it's something that maybe that you could help him along with on the road. Brother, I'm praying I'll see you again, and we'll talk again for sure. And you just keep up doing what you're doing. You be blessed, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Well, just one thing. If they know somebody that needs our help and we're in their area, you follow us, you let us know who it is that needs help, and we'll go help them.
Yeah, amen. I'm going to give out, which one of these email addresses do you use? The Gmail or the Cox one? Which one do you use?
The Cox Communication.
Okay, folks, can I give out your email address?
Yes, sir.
Okay, folks, his email address is simple, cowboychurch@cox.net, cowboychurch@cox.net. Real simple to send him an email. That's as easier or simpler even than finding his website, but it's cowboychurch@cox.net. Well, brother, I'll see you again, and I love you, brother. I'm really glad that the Father put us together, and you just keep preaching the word of Jesus out there, and we'll talk again. You be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, folks, that was Pastor Dan, Cowboy Pastor Dan. What do you think about that? He's out there on he goes out there on his horse and preaches the word of God and does good deeds to help people, to show the love of Yeshua, or, you know, Jesus Christ with people. So, you know, pray about it, you know. Go over and look at his site, share it with others, share this program with others, like share all of them. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. November's coming up, and we need to get caught up with everything so we can get into November. And Thanksgiving is the biggest day of the year for us over there at the Mission Church. But you must remember there's only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and He gave His life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights on the heart of the earth. And through Him, and always only through Him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.